reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New King James Version. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. Let us hear God's holy word. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And thus we end this reading from God's holy word. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that your word cannot be broken, that your word is truth, and we ask you to teach us by your Holy Spirit this evening. We pray you will cause your word to come into our minds and to pierce our hearts. Cause it to convict us of our sins. Cause it to assure us of your forgiveness to all who truly repent. And we pray, Father, that you will bring us to faith in Christ and greater faith. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Tonight I want to speak to you about enduring hardship. Paul was enduring hardship as he was in a Roman prison. He anticipated that Timothy would come face to face with hardship. And God, the Holy Spirit, anticipated that all of us will endure hardship as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is there in Rome, and not only is he in prison, but he will also soon die. He will soon die because of his faith in Jesus Christ and his preaching of the gospel. He will die under the order of Roman Emperor Nero. While he's there, he writes instructions to his friend Timothy and for ministers of the gospel, but not only for ministers of the gospel, but also for all Christians. These principles and these exhortations apply to all Christians as well. He encourages Timothy to be steadfast in the ministry of the gospel in spite of the opposition. And as he's writing this and encouraging another man far away, remember that Paul is in prison. And while in prison, he doesn't dwell upon himself, and he doesn't say, woe is me, for I am in prison, but he's thinking about the church of the future and the cause and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he writes to young Timothy to encourage him. This text reminds me of the verse in Luke 9:23, where our Lord and Master said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. That's what Timothy was called upon to do. That's what you're called upon to do. That's what I am called upon to do. It fits in with this text of enduring hardship. Hardship is coming in Ephesus and has already come. There are false teachers there. There's false doctrine there. Hardship is coming for you and for me. So here's what I want to say in a nutshell. So if you want to go to sleep, wait just a second until I finish saying this. I hope you won't go to sleep. But I've been known to put people to sleep, I confess. But here it is in a nutshell, what I want you to remember. By the grace of God and by the power of God the Holy Spirit, we are to endure hardship and to continue to follow our Savior Jesus Christ. We will face hardship, and the Lord calls upon us to endure it in His strength. He will strengthen us for each and every hardship. Sometimes we will ignore him. and not seek that strength from Him and not receive it. Sometimes we will seek that strength and we will receive it. Either way, He will take care of us. So this evening I speak to you on this subject, endure hardship, under three headings. First, be strong in grace. Secondly, teach faithful men. Thirdly and finally is the exhortation to endure hardship as a good soldier. First of all, then, be strong in grace. Be strong in grace so that you will be able to endure hardship. And so Paul writes in verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." If we are strong in grace, we'll be able to get through the hardship better, easier. The grace comes through Jesus Christ, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is God's unmerited favor that comes to us through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't deserve God's favor. We don't deserve forgiveness of sins. We don't deserve for God to take care of us and take us to heaven in the end. But He does this by grace. And not only initial grace, but continuing grace. Grace abounds through the Lord Jesus Christ to the believer. In John 1:12, we read, "And of His fullness," of Christ's fullness, "we have all received, and grace for grace." John 1:12. That could be translated grace upon grace. There's more grace for you. You had grace today. You have received grace today from the Lord. You will receive more tomorrow and the next day because there's an abundant supply of grace, and He tailors it to the individual's needs. He not only saves us through grace, He sustains us through grace. So be strong in that grace, or be strengthened by that grace. Be empowered by that grace. It's the same word that's used in Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. The grace of Christ strengthens us, and it strengthens us for hardship. I know that some of you have phones, for I see them with my very eyes. And I see some of you looking at Scripture on your phones. And so I haven't learned yet to say, let's open our Bibles and turn on our phones to the following passage, but maybe someday I will. But I know there's a cord that you have with that phone. And even you children have seen these cords. Your parents attach this cord to the end of the phone. And then they plug in that cord to an electrical outlet. And you know what happens to the phone at that point. It gets charged. It gets empowered, as it were, so that it won't die. It'll keep working. And it'll work with new and fresh energy. And that's what Christ does for us. He empowers us that we may endure hardship. So get as much grace as you can. Be strong in grace is the exhortation here. Now, how do we get it? How do we get the grace? Well, it so happens that God has given us some specific things that we can use to receive grace. And we call them the means of grace. How about that? You want grace? Well, there are means by which you may obtain grace. There are instruments that you may use to obtain grace. These special tools that God has given us. Larger Catechism 154. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of His mediation? Answer: the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to His church the benefits of His mediation are all His ordinances, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. Larger Catechism 154. The Word, the sacraments, and prayer. You want grace? Go to the Word. You want grace? Observe the sacraments. Participate in the sacraments. You want grace? Pray to God for it. He supplies it to you. Acts 2:42 says, after that the greatest day, I believe, in the history of the church. Acts 2:42 says, at the end of that day, or toward the end of that day, I'm sure, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Acts 2:42. So they continued in the means of grace, you see. Be strong in grace. Be a two-service Christian. I see that you are. You're here for the second service. Your friends are missing out. You got 100% more than they did today, you see. It's kind of humorous, but it's really true. It's really true. You availed yourself of more grace. Thank God for you. And may others learn what you've already learned. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace, helped Paul in hardship. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and He, Jesus, said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. God's grace in Christ will strengthen you for every hardship you have to bear. Be strong in grace in order to endure hardship, and that's our first point. Secondly, teach faithful men. In particular, and to this context, teach faithful men, teach them to endure hardship, and then they will teach others. Notice this in verse 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What are the things Timothy heard from Paul? The gospel, the revelation of God, the message of God. The good news, Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is His gospel. And Timothy had heard that from Paul, the everlasting truth. What was Timothy to do with it? He was to commit it or deposit it with other men. Faithful, trustworthy men who would also pass it on to others. Excuse me. Why was he to do this? Because this is the way the Great Commission is carried out. Teaching the gospel to others. This is the way false teaching is fought against and countermanded. This is the way that Satan is stopped. Every time the Word of God is preached, every time, I imagine every time, that you or I try to speak to someone else personally or in a small group about the things of the Lord, Satan opposes it. In Luke 8, verse 12, we read this about the seeds and the sower. Those by the wayside, those seeds sown by the wayside, are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Luke 8:12. Now, I can't give you specific details about this. I don't know the specific details, but what I do know is this. Satan resists the gospel. He is opposed to it. And there's a spiritual warfare going on that most of the times we're not even aware of. We're just trying to get through the day. But there's a spiritual world all around us, and Satan is doing his work, and he has, I don't know how many demons he has, but he has a lot of them, and they're out there working for him every time the word goes forth. Have you ever wondered why it's much easier for you to listen to the news or read a shopping catalog rather than the word of God? Well, there's opposition to that. There's opposition. And Satan provides it. So teach faithful men. Pass it on to other people who will be able to pass it on to others. Yes, the minister especially is to do this. But you don't have to be a minister or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study teacher to do this, do you? We do this wherever the Lord gives us opportunity. We don't have to say, well, I can't say anything about the Lord. I can't teach anything about the Lord because I don't have a Sunday school class. I'm just not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a Bible school teacher. No. We don't have to say that. We can actually talk about the things of God in everyday conversations. You know, that's the way it was with the people of old in Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Listen to this. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. So when is it that we cannot talk about this? Well, in just about every area of life, opportunities come for us to do this. This is the way that John Mark, learned from the Apostle Peter, that he wrote his gospel based on the teachings and preachings of the Apostle Peter. This is the way the gospel goes forth. Jesus had a handful of men. Jesus ascended to heaven, and he had a handful of men. He had carefully trained for 3 years, and here we are today. Because the gospel has spread by this message of mouth to mouth. Teach faithful men who will teach others, and part of that teaching will be that through the grace of Christ, they'll be able to endure hardship. Thirdly and finally is the exhortation, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Afflictions, trouble, the hardships of life, suffering. Join in suffering. Paul says, join me in suffering for Christ. Christians say to one another, join me in fellowship with Christ. And part of that fellowship is our suffering together and supporting one another as we suffer. Not as much as many other Christians, but we do. So sometimes we have to adjust our schedule, adjust our lives when suffering comes along. It's not what we planned. It upsets our calendar. We have to set aside a few days or weeks or months. Things change, don't they, according to circumstances. You see your doctor and he says, well, it's time for you to do this. Your schedule changes. A lot of things change. You get your body worked on. A lot of things happen with your soul. Sometimes the Lord calls us aside to special suffering, but we enter into a life of suffering. And so he says in verse 4, no one entangled in warfare entangles himself, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I was seeing I think it was Prince Harry being interviewed one day on a video. He was in the military at the time. And in the middle of the military, in the middle of the interview, rather, bombs were going off in the background. And he jumps up and runs because he has to do something. He has to serve as a soldier. He can't stay there and continue the interview. He's a soldier. And we're soldiers of Christ. And we please our commanding officer. Or do we? We should. He is our commanding officer. I'm reminded of this hymn that I'm so fond of. Jesus, Master, whose I am. Whose I am, meaning I belong to you, Jesus. Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchased thine alone to be. By thy blood, O spotless Lamb, shed so willingly for me, let my heart be all thine own. Let me live to thee alone. The soldier pleases his commander. Then endure hardship, not only as a soldier, but as an athlete. Verse 5 says, and also if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Athletes know discipline as well as anyone we know. Their training is rigorous. And if an athlete makes a simple mistake, he can be disqualified. If you follow football, professional football players can be disqualified when they take a banned substance, and some of them didn't know the substance was contained in what they were taking. At least they say that. Maybe they're lying. But sometimes it happens. Olympians can train for years and one false move, and years of labor are gone. And whose rules do we follow? The rules of our Master. He has told us certain things we are to follow. Endure hardship as an athlete. The discipline is sometimes rigorous. You know, you're here tonight, aren't you? You could have been at home resting, but you're here. Endure hardship as a farmer. Verse 6 says, the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. It says, this man is hardworking. And diligent farmers are hardworking. It's a very difficult job. But the crops are right there on his property, and he can easily partake the first fruits because they're his. He has raised them. He has worked for them. He is a hard worker. He is, in other words, he's not lazy, to put it bluntly. Christ doesn't have lazy followers. Well, he shouldn't, right? He shouldn't have lazy followers. And the diligent worker by grace will be rewarded, Paul says here. I was having a conversation just this past week, and the person, knowing that I sometimes go to different churches and preach sermons, and it, you know, it takes time and so on, and so I was asked, can't you preach the same sermons? Can't you preach the same ones? And I said, well, I could, but how would I grow? How would I learn more? In an emergency, yes, I could, and I could anyway, but how would I grow if I only preach the same sermons over and over again? How would I get grace if I'm not feeding myself on the means of grace before, by God's grace, I try to feed a flock of God? Remember the hardworking farmer and your hardship as he does. Consider what Paul says is the message to Timothy in verse 7. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider. Think. Meditate. What do you think about? What do you think about when your eyes open first time in the morning? What do you think about during the day? What do you think about at night? Reading is good. Good reading requires thinking. Consider, think, Paul says. God is renewing our minds. He is renewing our minds through His Word and Spirit. This takes time and effort. Your session, your pastor, I see, have taught you diligently about this, and they have provided for you a reading guide to show you what you could be following if you want to take in the means of grace every day. They have shown you how you can read through the Westminster Standards in a year, how you can read through John Calvin's Institutes also. I see that this is not lost on your session. Your elders are caring for you and guiding you. Thank God for that. You need some time. You need some effort. You say, I'm very busy, and you have no idea how busy I am. No, I don't. I don't know how busy you are, but I do know one thing. You need to read, and you need to think, and you need to do it daily. You need to eat daily, and you need to feed yourself on the means of grace daily. And Sunday, Sunday's a feast for you. You see, you're here, you're smart, you came back, you're gracious people, you're full of grace, you came back the second time to receive the grace that God has to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's Sunday school, there's preaching twice, there's worship, then you have private meditation at home or in between services. It's very important for you. I can't tell you. I can't estimate how valuable this is to you. When hardship comes and it hits you in the face, you have a storehouse of teaching in your heart that's been laid up there for years. And hardship doesn't blindside you because you belong to God. And you know in His providence He takes care of you because you've fed on His Word and you know the truth. You know that it's not exceptional to be in hardship. You know that God uses it for your good, for your growth in grace, for your maturity to the image of Jesus Christ. The Lord will give you understanding, Paul says. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. It's not like studying a textbook when you study the Word. The Holy Spirit works invisibly to help you as you pray to Him. The Holy Spirit, first of all, gave you life. He regenerated you. He led you to repentance and faith in Jesus. And now when you pray to God, when you open up the book, the Holy Spirit works again invisibly, beautifully, mysteriously to open your mind to the message of the Word of God. That means we have to pray. So endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's the third point. So Paul is telling us, be strong in grace. Hardship will come. Endure it as the Lord enables you to do so. You, as Christians, were crucified with Christ. You were buried with Him. You were raised with Him to walk in newness of life and to walk in that newness of life, even in hardship. By His grace, you face hardship differently than people of the world who know not Christ. All they know to do is the best they can without God. But that's not you. He teaches you how. If you suffer with Him, you will also reign with Him. My fellow believers, suffer hardship in the grace of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most High God, we thank You that You did not spare Your only begotten Son, but gave Him up, that we poor sinners might have everlasting life. We thank You that You, by the Holy Spirit, gave us the power to believe in Him. Enable us now, by Your Holy Spirit, to follow Christ, even when it means we must suffer. Help us to endure hardship submissively and sweetly. We pray in the name of the One who bore our own sins in His own body on the tree, even the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us